Oh, Jesus is supplying my need.
Oh, yes,
I thank you, Lord. I praise your name. For you brought me through so many things. I want to take the time to praise your name. Oh, you're my comforter, you're my friend. No greater love hath any man than Jesus is supplying my need.
Oh, yes,
I thank you, Lord. I praise your name, for you helped me through so many things. I want to take the time.
Praise the Lord. Well, it feels good in here already. I want to thank all of you for coming and apologize that I hadn't been able to make too many of these meetings, but I'll do better if you give me a little time so as we get things situated a little bit better. But it is important, I know, for God's people to get together. And after all, the Lord prayed, make them one. Father, even as you and I are one. And that couldn't happen if we didn't get together, could it? And I need you, and you need me, whether you believe that or not. Anyway, we just want to welcome all of you. Brother Harrington has a a minister here with him today. First time with us, I believe. Brother Tidwell, is that right? And his wife, I believe. Is that right back here? Aren't we glad to have him? Good to have you, Brother Tidwell. Praise God. Just want you to make yourself at home. And then you, brethren, if there's anyone that you want on the platform that's normally on the platform of your assemblies, will help us and make them free to come up. I just wonder how many people would have a need if we don't have a way to get downstairs in the dining room. We'll eat today at 3 o'clock, but the only way down there is stairs. We've got plenty of them. But, yes, you can drive around to the back, and it's on floor level, but I was going to offer a van if we'd have enough handicapped folks or those that would feel a need. We could have a van ready at the end of the service to take you around, where you could walk right in without having to go downstairs. I wonder, is there anyone here that would need that assistance? Or you think you can get downstairs? All right. Well, we just wanted to offer Sister Elsie, we can help you. Sister Williams, all right. All right. She's going to drive around. She can lead the way. We're praying and looking for an elevator. We're going to try to put an elevator back here in this back stairwell if we can find one. So if anybody hears of a good operable elevator and used, maybe in good condition, we'd like to. And if you find one, if you know how to put one in, we sure need help on that. Yeah, that's what we need. We need you to buy it, pay for it, bring it down here and install it for us. We sure would be appreciative. Thank you, Brother Supmiller. He's helping me out up here. I want to apologize for the men's restroom. It's very operable, but we don't have our stalls in yet. Just got a curtain back there or one of the handicapped stall areas, and we'll have that finished before our youth meeting, but we just haven't got there yet. We do have bathrooms back here behind the platform and downstairs at the bottom of the stairwell over here if you need to go downstairs. But anyway, forgive us for not having that ready for you. Anyway, we just want to welcome y'all. Ask you to just make yourself at home and relax. Let's see what the Lord has for us today. I appreciated that those songs that we just were singing, the band song, Amazing Grace. You know, I'm not sure how many people in the religious world of Christianity really understands the grace of God. And then that first chorus we sang, thank you, Lord, for including me. You brought me to the truth. The song said, and the truth has set me free. The scripture said, it's made me free. And even though God does set you free, as far as the Lord can deliver you, when you come to the Lord and He's dealing with you, He's a God of deliverance. He can deliver you from the condition of sin and the guilt and consciousness. God can help you to a measure, but you can't get completely free of this carnal nature without making yourself available to God. We become His workmanship, but His grace has to work in us for that to be accomplished. And so, this is a place where we come to receive the things of God. Jesus, when He came to this world, He brought something that I'm not sure that the along with grace. I'm not sure that's what He ushered in was grace, but what Jesus really came to this world and done, I'm confident that there's a large number of Christians that really don't understand that. What He brought back there in the early church, if you don't understand that the church fell away and went into darkness, And I see that that was in God's design. The Lord couldn't it was necessary that the church fell away. Not that God wanted it to, but you have to consider that God was dealing with the Jewish nation. And that people for 2,000 years and brought them up under the law of Moses from the call of Abraham and brought them up as a nation under a law. Paul said it was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. God worked on that nation, those people, for 2,000 years. They were ready when Jesus came to this world. There was just a remnant that was ready, but God had a remnant ready to receive what Jesus came to do. And then what Jesus did harvested the end of the Jewish world. After that, the gospel was given over. At the same time, the 12 apostles were harvesting the Jewish world, the Apostle Paul was planting seeds among the Gentiles, and he was bringing them in during a time that during that harvest time. But you have to realize that the Gentiles were receiving that message on a different level than the Jews were. The Jews understood the law of the prophets. They understood the history of the righteous lineage and what God had done among the Jewish people and the prophecies of old and the workings of God for 4,000 years prior to that. The Gentiles were, and by the way, that's my background, they were sinners, heathens, idolaters. They were without God. They were ungodly. They didn't understand the ways of God. It's not to say there weren't any Gentiles that weren't converts to Judaism, but Gentiles, for the most part, were ignorant of the things of God and the ways of God and God's dealings. And so when they received this message, it was on a much lower scale or a different platform. The Jews were on a different platform. When the Holy Ghost began to touch them, they didn't have anything but the Word of God in the Old Covenant and the prophecies about Jesus and the things that told about Him. But when the Spirit of God touched them and let them and quickened those scriptures to their minds and their understanding, and they got a vision and a revelation of who Jesus was, and they begin to receive what He came to do. They begin to see the fulfillment of the law, even the ordinances of the law, the types and shadows that God laid down back there for those people. They begin to get revelation of that when they begin to hear and see Jesus and hear the message, or the good news, the Bible calls it, the gospel of the New Testament. And that when that was quickened to them, just like the Apostle Paul, He fought the church. It wasn't quickened to him, but he was a Jew among Jews. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, wasn't he? And he was a man that was zealous for the law, but he didn't understand he didn't understand Christ. He didn't really know and have a revelation who he was. But when God pursued him, when the Lord captured him, how many of you have been captured by the Lord? Thank God. That's why we were singing that song. We were singing today, thank you, Lord, for including me. Thank God one day the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, no man comes unto me except my Father draws him. And so God was dealing with those people back there. And he began to deal with the Apostle Paul. And when he touched him, quickened him by the Holy Ghost, and he began to see Christ in that old covenant. And when God opened that up to him, it came alive. Well, Gentiles didn't have anything to be quickened. They didn't have anything in their mind or in their hearts or understanding that God could quicken. So when they got this message, it was on a different level. And when God finished harvesting the Jewish world, and the Gentiles were what was left, this message had to come down on a different level. This whole world. I think, matter of fact, there's a scripture in the 12th chapter, isn't it, of the book of Revelation that said that the dragon spewed a flood out of its mouth, and the whole world helped the woman. Everybody started accepting the message of Jesus Christ. And because people did that, it was hard to find a true Christian. There was a lot of people accepting it, a lot of people claiming to be Christians, or had just a portion of understanding of what Christ came to do, what Jesus, why God sent him to this world. But they didn't have the whole message. And so the church came down on a more primitive level of understanding and caused the church world to go through the whole world to go through a period of darkness. It's called the Dark Ages, where the gospel was very hard to get the true meaning or the truth of the Word of God that we were singing about here today. God, he knew that would happen. He had to start out. God starts out with every one of us, wherever we're at. Whatever our understanding is, he starts out with us. He'll accept you just like you are. He'll love you just like you are. He'll forgive your sins, and he'll allow you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and be born of his nature. What a marvelous thing. Jesus came to do that. Jesus came so you and I could be born again. So that we could be born of the nature that he was born of. No man ever on the face of the earth, from the fall of Adam till Jesus came to this world, ever was born of the Spirit of God or born of God's nature since the fall of Adam, except when Jesus came. And he said that in the 14th chapter of the book of John. You brother, I'm probably going to get to preach up here today. It feels good up here. I didn't get up here to say all this, but I may just say a few things and get back out of the way. But when he was preparing his disciples and letting them know, I'm leaving, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, the 14th chapter of St. John is the whole chapter is a Holy Ghost chapter. Jesus is preparing his disciples to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I might just open that up. I may say something here today that you may never heard, or you may not agree with, and that's all right. because we're a group of people that have opened our doors to all of God's people, because we see God is restoring the church. And we're on a broad spectrum right now. If you start bringing all of God's people in here, you've got a broad spectrum of ideas, thoughts, and standards, customs, and traditions. It takes time for God to make us one. I still believe today that God's going to have a people that are going to be one people, just like the early church. I don't see where they were divided or separated. I don't see back there where they preached different things. They preached the common. It's called the common faith. It was a common gospel. The watchman saw eye to eye. And if God's restoring the church, and I certainly believe He is, we're headed into something that God's going to put us together. But right now, there's a broad spectrum of God's people coming in, coming together. God's calling them. He's doing this. This is the body of Christ. Is not something that man made. It's not something that man generated. It's not something that man organized or put together. It's something that God is calling His people out of every facet of religion into one body and one spirit, one baptism, one Lord. He's one faith. He's gathering His people together in one people. That's what one body means. It doesn't mean a whole group of separated denominations or organizations that are not hooked together, linked together, or have anything to do with each other. You can't see a picture of that in the early church. There was just one people, one ministry, and they were all connected. There was an apostolic ministry back there that connected that body. And God's restoring that today, and He's calling you, giving you and I an opportunity to be a part of it. And here in the 14th chapter, He's getting them ready. He's letting them know He's leaving, but He's also letting them know, I'm going to send a comforter. And He said, in My Father's house, that's the second verse, John 14, are many mansions. By the way, that word mansions, and I'm not a man that just thinks we just got to go right down the line on the Greek. I believe God preserved the King James Version well enough that we can get the truth out of it. But it helps sometimes. There's some things in there that'll help our understanding. I think you could get it through a quickening of the Holy Ghost, but I think the Holy Ghost can also quicken you to use natural means that God's provided. I give God the credit for every good thing. That word mansions is a Greek word that is, it's mone. Yes, it's the strong number 3438 in the Greek dictionary, and it means, in matter of fact, it's the exact same word if you'll just turn over to the 23rd verse, where Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love Me, he'll keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we'll come unto him and make our abode with him. And that's what the word mone means. It means abode. And what He was saying was, in My Father's house. You know where that house is? It's right here. In the body of Jesus Christ. It's the kingdom of God. It's the church. There's many abodes. You're an abode. I'm an abode. You're an abode. He was getting them ready to be an abode for the Holy Ghost, where God, the Father, and Jesus could come in. I know we sang about, who was it? Dottie Rambo sang that song, Just Build My Mansion Next Door to Jesus. Well, I'm not worried about what kind of house I'm going to live in. I just want to get there. I want this house to be changed. I want to be an abode and a place for a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. And that's what He was telling them. In My Father's house are many abodes. And he said, if that wasn't true, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus wasn't going to go build heaven so it'd be ready to receive us. He was fixing a place here on the earth that where I am right now, where I'm at, this Holy Ghost life I'm living in, you can live in it too. And and I'll come again. That coming there was on the day of Pentecost through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So that church back there received something, but is on a much greater level than what even we're on today. When Jesus came to this world, he came without, he had the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God without measure, the scripture says. And that's, Jesus was a Son of God, but he came all the way down and took on the likeness. He took on flesh and blood to be like his brothers, to be tempted in every point. He was in human form. He came all the way down. And he had, though he were a son, Paul said in Hebrews, he learned obedience by the things he suffered and being made perfect. He wasn't perfect when he got here. He had to go through a process. He had to be tempted. He had to go through trials. But he had the Holy Ghost, the power. There's a power in God I don't think we've ever tasted. I don't think we've tasted the power of God and the glory of God in the measure that the early church tasted it. I'm not satisfied. I'll never settle. There may be some brethren say we've got all we need, but I can't conclude with that. I just know there's more. I've tasted a little more. A few times God's gave me a taste of more. And I know it. There's something more available. And I know that it's in this Holy Ghost nature. We can learn how to dwell. We can learn how to dwell and abide in Him. If you abide in me, he said, you can ask what you will and it shall be. Jesus abode in God, in the Holy Ghost. That's how miracles. You want to see the gifts restored to the church? Just get in a place where you can abide. That's what's wrong right now with a lot of people in the body of Jesus Christ that try to work out their problems in the flesh. They try to work it out with their own mind, and they don't lean on God and seek God and pursue God and ask God and petition God to help them and fall on their face and yield themselves over and let God begin to enter in and work on their case. If you have problems in your life and you're in a strife, your life is, you're striving with something, and you've got troubles, and you're troubled in your mind and in your spirit, I can just tell you right now, you need to yield over to God. You need to yield over to the Holy Ghost. And there's a peace from God that'll come into your life. He'll begin to take over and work. I'm telling you, if you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you don't, you can get it today. But if you've got it, you can get in a place with God that He'll begin to take over and begin to work in your life. And you'll know God's got a hold of my case. God's taking hold of me. He's helping me. He's working in my life. And he's working some things out. It's not always an easy place to be, but I'll tell you, it's good when you get through it. God gets you on the other side of some of your trials and struggles. And He begins to work things out. And you begin to realize, my God, what you've done for me. That song we were singing, I thank you, Lord. I praise your name. You brought me through so many things. Hallelujah. I'd like to take the time to praise your name. Hallelujah. Glory. So I'm thankful for where God has brought me. He's brought me among you people. I came up in the Pentecostal world, but There were so many things that I didn't understand, even as a minister, that I was lacking. That's the first thing I had to do, is get to a place that I would admit that I didn't know a lot of things. And that I was willing to open my mind. And then I began to meet this brotherhood. And they began to put the pieces of the puzzle together for me, not the whole puzzle. I don't think we've got the whole puzzle yet. But I think we're getting a big picture of it, so big that we can say, hey, this thing's, it's, we're headed in the right direction because all these pieces fit. And we're seeing, we've got a vision of what this puzzle's all about. You know, a big part of the religious world, the way I was taught, and I'm going to get down from here, but my mind's going a lot of different directions. But I was taught that the law of God was so hard that nobody could keep it. And that finally God just sent his son, so he would keep the law and be a sacrifice for everybody and just pay a price, and then we'd just do the best we could do, and the rest of it Jesus would have to make up the difference. That's the way I was taught. That's the way the religious world teaches it. But to realize that Jesus didn't come here to do away with the law. He came here to fulfill it, and he came here to give us the power. And where we could be born, you cannot keep the law, and you cannot be made perfect in the flesh. If, you know, when I got here and I heard this message of perfection, I thought, I'm just going to get busy and make it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get down to brass tacks and just get to work, go to work. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and go to work, and I'm going to make it. Well, it took me 20 or 30 years to figure it out, to realize that you can't do that. You do, though, it does take commandments, it does take laws or statutes. You got to have a certain amount of commandments to keep the flesh under enough submission to God that he can work his grace in you. In fact, that's part of his grace. But it takes... It takes a certain amount of discipline. God wants a people that are not loose, people that's committed. You can't be committed to anything without disciplining yourself. But to come under God's discipline, submit ourselves to him, make him the Lord of our lives, to where he can work in our lives. But what he's working on is transforming us by the renewing of our minds. You and I have been born to the Holy Ghost. That's a perfect nature of God. You don't have to perfect that. You can't perfect it. If we could just have a Holy Ghost fit here today, you know, I'd run away, and we could really get in the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you what. When you get in the Holy Ghost, you'll kiss your worst enemy. You'll hug their necks and say, I'll bear it all. I'll take whatever's been wrong between us. And you would do good together if you could stay in that spirit. It's a problem is we don't stay there. You can't stay there, and you've got to grow up in him. You've got to get enough understanding and enough knowledge and temperance and patience. God's got to work that. You can't just say, I'm going to get it. You've got to say, God, here I am. I'm yielding to you. That's why we keep coming here. That's why you got to come on a regular basis. If I was you, I'd be here every service. I'd make myself available. I don't mean here, but whatever church you're in. But those of you that are here, I'd be here. Every service, I'd make myself available. I'd be afraid something would happen. That would be the service that God did something special and I wasn't there. I realize there's exceptions to that, but if you've got a mindset to do that, you'll be there nearly every service. Old Brother Gene Sugg in Fort Worth years ago, he got up about 25 years ago, and he began to talk to the church and tell them how He said, you know, I've noticed something. He said, I've noticed how that when God does special things, when there's the best services, the deepest services we've had, and the special moves of God that took place in this place, he said, it takes place when the faithful are here and when the unfaithful, a lot of them are gone. He said, but I've just noticed that down through the years. Sometimes something happened, I think, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. I wish they was here. I've been up on my feet preaching before, and I thought, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. He could hear this. They need this. Well, yeah, pastors know that. They know their saints, and they know who needs what and what they need. There's many times that I thought, God, I wish... And there's been times when I was preaching and I'd come in, God, you know, I'm just telling you, just like today, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just up here talking and things are coming in my mind. But I'd start talking on something and I'd get right up to almost a point. And I'd be thinking of somebody in the congregation. I thought, God, they need this. You know, let me tell you something. There's a difference in preachers getting up in their own spirit and trying to deal with a case. And every one of us have done it. And every one of us have to learn and get enough experience to wait on God and be patient enough to let God deal with things. I just got to a place that I just turned it all over to God. I quit striking and railing on the people of God. I don't care if I know you're doing wrong. I don't run you up a flagpole, make you feel bad, or beat you half to death, or use the pulpit as a whipping post. I just wait on the Holy Ghost. I just let it go. It's one of the hardest things I ever learned, just to let the people of God do whatever they're going to do and me keep my mouth shut until God wants to do something about it. It's like Brother Brown said the other day at the campground. He said, God, if you don't care, I don't care. He said, I've told Jesus that a few times because he said, I thought he ought to be doing something about it. But he said, if you don't care, I don't care. I don't think I've ever said that, really. But, well, I just haven't. I'm quoting Brother Brown. But I have learned. I have learned that if I'll be patient and wait, it don't have to even be me that works on it. I just know God can send somebody. In fact, of business, God has done that many times. He sends preachers in, can't preach half as good as I can. They can do a better job in 30 minutes than I can do it a month or two or three or a year. Sometimes I just shake my head. I thank God. I forgive every scripture. I preach messages on that. And they didn't get it. Here come a preacher. He come in, preached for 30, 45 minutes, and walked out, and they said, hallelujah, I got a revelation tonight. Well, you know what? You got to be thankful that God, this is his work anyway. It's not man's work. But God, when the Holy Ghost gets ready to deal with your case, and you'll know it too. I was going to say a minute ago how there's times I'd preach, get right up to a point, and right before I'd make the main point, the person that needed the worst would get up and go to the bathroom. And I'd think, is there any way we can hit a hole button here? These preachers know what I'm talking about. It happens. And I know it happens. I don't think the people know it, but I think the heat gets so strong around them, they just got to go somewhere. They can't take anymore. Well, that's the Holy Ghost doing that. It's not a minister. Thank God for the Holy Ghost and for the work of God working among us and being preachers. This is God's, you're his workmanship. If I put my hands on this, it'll turn to nothing. If God's working in this, it'll accomplish something. And so, he's bringing us to a place. Let me read this scripture. It's our foremost scripture that we've used to show forth our message in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And I'll sit down. The fourth verse, he said, there's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you. But in every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, I was captivated. I'm glad this operation of God touched me. I was captivated and it was God. You know, like I said, there's a broad spectrum of God working among a great, vast number of people. And we've got people from on one extreme all the way across the spectrum to another extreme. We've accepted and opened our doors. We've got people in here from the strictest holiness, Pentecostal and other holiness groups, all the way to the most liberal, charismatic people you can find in Christianity. We open our doors and we love them all. But if you'll stay around here a while, you'll find that there's a men of God. You'll find a wheel in the middle of Ezekiel's wheel. You'll find that there's men that have found a balance. They found the truth of God's word, and they found how to bring God's people into a balance and away from both extremes and into a middle ground, or the middle of the road, or the balance of to balance the gospel. That's a difficult thing. It takes God to help us do that. But the early church had it in balance. They had a just weight and a just balance. What does that scripture say? An unjust weight and balance is an abomination. If we got anything that's out of balance, it's an abomination. I had a preacher tell me one time, he said, I know I'm out of balance. I know I'm extreme. But he said, I'm not going to change until some of them people on the other side of extremes, they start changing. I said, so you think that out of balance is going to balance something? You think extreme is going to bring things into balance? I know what he meant. He meant, you know, I'm holding, you know, I'm pulling this away because I see they need to come more to the middle. And I'm pulling so hard I've got out of the middle doing it. But you can get on both sides. But I was captivated in religion. I was a captive. God was working in my life. It's the only way God had to get a hold of me. It's the only way God had to touch me. Everybody can't get in this. Do you know that? Everybody. God's not ready to bring everybody into this body. But he's touching people all over the world. And his ultimate goal is to get them into one body and one faith and one to understand the one Lord and true God and Father of us all. And he's working on that today. It took me a while after I got here to find and begin to recognize men that had the greater balance and to begin to follow after that, begin to watch those men, study them, and to try to make myself available and to learn and for God to help me to understand. I want to be used of God. I don't want to beat the air. I'm not here just for the ride. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. And I want to see this body. I've got a burden with these other brethren for this body of Christ. I want to see God's people come together. And anyway, but I was captivated in one thing, but God, he began to touch me and deal with me, and he brought me out of that captivity into another. No doubt that's why Paul started this thing off saying, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. I don't think he was talking about jailhouse prisoners. He was God's prisoner. He knew God was dealing and directing his life, and he was in the middle of God's will. God was working on him. Oh, saints, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing for God to have captivated you, for God to reach down with His Spirit and touch you and begin to woo you and draw you to Him. And then He sets up, the psalmist said in the 139th Psalm, He goes before you and behind you. There's a wisdom that's higher than we know anything about. God knows just exactly how to deal with your life and my life. Hallelujah. We're serving a great God today. If He brought you here, you are blessed. There was, isn't that what the angel told Mary? Said, you're blessed among women. Well, there's a church. That, don't you know that early church back there was a blessed woman? She was blessed. God's calling us just like He called that church back there. Joseph was a type of this ministry. He had a revelation. The angel had to help him know who Mary was and what was going on and what was going to come forth in her womb. And it's going to take a ministry down here that knows to not touch this woman until God brings forth what He wants to bring forth. And we're to take care of it and watch over it. But let the work of God work in this people. Let it produce overcomers. A man child. Hallelujah. So, anyway, he said, wherefore he saith, the 8th verse, when he ascended up on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, came down here all the way down in the earth. But he that descended is also that ascended up the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. He doesn't stop there, but he says, until we all, everybody say all. All, till we all come to the unity of the faith. I've been studying on that some lately. I asked God, I said, God, how are you ever going to get us into unity? The Lord spoke to me recently and said, peace. It's going to take peace. Study peace. Peace will bring unity. When you start studying peace, you'll have to start studying how we get peace. The Bible says to pursue it, to seek after it. Follow after peace and pursue it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I'm looking for peace. I'm promoting peace. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge. Listen to this. Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Wouldn't you like to see that? All. I'd just like to see a half a dozen men come to the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. This is what Jesus came to do. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Not just part, but the fullness. We're to come to the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness. Grow up in Him. We can get in this Holy Ghost the way He did. If we can let God begin to transform our minds, it'll transform your spirit. And when you walk in this perfect nature that God's gave you, you're not perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you got a perfect nature. But your mind and your spirit is where your problem is. It takes time for God to transform your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes the truth of God's word and the understanding. Righteous principles have got to come into your understanding, and it'll even have to work into wisdom. But when you grow up in God in that, see, you're not going to be a place where you have to make yourself do anything. It's just be part of you. It's part of that Holy Ghost nature. But when your mind lines up with this Holy Ghost nature, and only God can do that, Just keep making yourself available, saints. If you're coming and you're doing all you can do, you're dedicated, you're serving God the best of your ability, you're going to make it. Because God's going to do the rest. I've got utmost confidence that that He's begun in us, He's also able to perform it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyway, I'm going to leave some of that. Some of them brethren want to get down to some of those main scriptures, maybe, or go back to some of them, or wherever the Lord leads us. I just want to welcome you. Let's pray before we go any further. Brother Hutchinson's, is he still in the hospital, Sister Brenda? Went in the hospital last night in Benton with, thought he had a heart attack or maybe some, then they decided that it was strokes, little strokes that he was having. And so they went ahead and admitted him and doing tests on him and treating him. He's doing good, I understand, but is there any further report, Sister Brenda? All right. Good. It's good to have Sister Durham, Sister Ruth. Brother Durham's on his way, and Sister Gail Ratliff and Jordan and Kayla. Who else? Sister Sherry and Ethan. Yeah. Brother Mark's already down here working, but their home needs to sell. Then, aren't we glad? We're glad they're here. Appreciate them being here. Several had to work and couldn't be here. And Brother Doug York, Sister Yvonne sold their house. They're signing, I guess they signed papers on them yesterday, but they've got to finish. They have a walkthrough inspection tomorrow and turning their house over. Brother Doug York's already here working. And anyway, the Lord's touching their lives. But pray for them. Pray for the people in the Republic. Sister Elsie Ratliff, keep praying for her. She had a light heart attack here recently. God's healed her heart before. She was laying on a deathbed. The doctor said she can't live. She's going to die. She's on life support. Call her family in. That was about 20 years ago. How long has it been, Sister Elsie? 13, 14 years ago. Brother Durham and I went to the hospital. We didn't even know her. We went into the room and laid hands on her, prayed for her, and all the family was coming in. They had me in a big room, about 50 of them, wanted me to work on funeral arrangements. I said, let's believe God to heal her before we bury her. And anyway, we walked out of there that night, and they called me the next morning. They said, her oxygen level's up, and they're taking the oxygen off of her. They called the next morning, said they're taking life support off of her. They called me the next afternoon, said they're putting her in a room, taking her out of intensive CCU. 3 days later, they said they're going to send her home. The next Sunday, her and 25 of her family members was in our church, and I think we prayed 7 or 8 of them through the Holy Ghost that day. The power of God came in there. And the doctor said, bring her back and let's check her heart. Let's do a test. And he said, something's wrong with these old tests. He said, because there ain't nothing wrong with your heart. We can't find anything wrong with it. Well, I think he can fix it again. It's her little blood vessels that's having trouble. Her main arteries are open. It's the little arteries that's clogged, and they can't do anything. They can't put stents in that, they said. So let's pray for her. Pray for Brother Weiniger, your prayers. Brother Sutmiller, I'm sure, would appreciate your prayers. All of us I'm saying anything about that. I will, just in case you think something bad. All of us that are getting a little older appreciate a little prayer once in a while. All right, what else? Sister Abraham? All right. She went and got Jonathan from Indiana the last few days. Sister Jackie Tucker, yes, she's been sick. Sister Ann. This time of year is hard. They're in the air conditioning heating business. They just can't keep up. Yes. All right. Yes. Brother Crowe. Keep Brother Crowe. Oh, and yes, Brother Matheny. I'm sorry. Brother Crowe needs prayer too. That's the other dad. All right. Yes. Brother Harrington's wife. All right. Her family. Remember my mother up back there, Sister Smith. Anything else? Yes. Lou Ellen. All right. Somebody else? Did I miss anyone? All right. Let's pray for the remainder of this meeting. God touch these men and the songs and whatever the Lord has for us here. Let's ask Him for His help. Oh, precious Savior, dear God, help us today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we are a needy people, Lord. You are our present help, Father, in the time of need. Oh, Lord, God, we petition You to meet these needs of these that are sick in their bodies, have diseases, Lord. Would You touch them? Dear God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Elsie and Brother Weininger, Brother Sutmiller today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Well, these brethren are so used to taking up the local offering. When we have prayer, they just came right on up here. But I don't guess it's too appropriate for the pastor to take up an offering in his own fellowship meeting. But you want to just go ahead and pass the pan? That just shows these men are on the ball. All right. We've even got a junior usher up here with a pan. I like for the young, in our regular services, we have one service a week where the little kids bring their offering up. I like for that to get planted in their hearts while they're little. So that people sends them up with a penny or two, but watch them, because sometimes they'll come up and take something out of the pan. They don't know just exactly what's going on, but they know there's money in the deal. Give and receive, that's it. It's like that little boy that, his daddy gave him a quarter to give in the offering and a dime. And he came home and his daddy seen he had that quarter. He said, "What are you doing? Where'd you get that quarter?" He kind of ducked his head. He said, "Is that the money I gave you to give in church?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I gave you the dime. What'd you do with the dime?" He said, "That's what I gave." He said, "Why did you give the dime? I told you to give the quarter." He said, "Well, our teacher said that God loves a cheerful giver." And he said, "I was much more happy to give that dime than I was that quarter." So, put the dime back in your pocket and give the quarter today, will you? All right. God bless you as you give. Yes, you can be seated.